We're taking a short break to tell you a little bit about the 10% Happier podcast hosted by my friend Dan Harris. It has one guiding philosophy. Happiness is a skill you can learn, so why not master it? I recently talked to him on our show about what has changed since he wrote 10% Happier 10 years ago. A lot. Dan was once a fidgety, skeptical journalist, but after suffering a panic attack on national television, he decided to change his life. This journey led him to learn everything he could about the human psyche. Now he's on a quest to help others achieve peace and happiness. Each week, he talks to top scientists, meditation teachers, and even the odd celebrity, exploring topics like productivity, anxiety, enlightenment, psychedelics, and relationships. He's funny. He's smart. He's one of the best interviewers I know. Think of listening to 10% Happier as a workout for your mind. The 10% Happier podcast is available wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome to Untangle, a podcast from Meditation Studio. I'm your host, Patricia Karpis. In this series, we introduce you to real people with extraordinary stories and experts who have devoted their lives to teaching and helping others through meditation. In today's episode, I interviewed Liz Corwin. From the age of 21 until she turned 30, Liz flew fighter planes for the U.S. Navy. She started doing yoga and meditation on the aircraft carrier as a way to decompress from such a competitive and stressful job. In her spare time, she began teaching others on the ship, which ultimately led her to her career as a yoga teacher for people in the military and for veterans. She's an adventurous spirit and an old soul. Here's Liz's story. Liz, welcome to Untangle. I'm so happy to have you here.
Thank you for inviting me.
I want to wind back the clock here and tell us a little bit about where did you grow up, and I want to know sort of the trajectory of how you got into military service, because I know you were in the Navy for 9 years.
Actually, 12 now. Well, I was active duty for 8, and now I've been reserve. I'm still with the Navy Reserve for 4.
Yeah.
So, okay.
It's amazing. It's amazing.
I grew up in Chicago from a little bit of a military background. You know, I think most people have grandparents or someone that served. And then my older brother actually joined the Army. That was my kind of first hearing about it, you know, fierce experience about it. But growing up, my older brother and I were very close. And, you know, there was that sibling rivalry. And I guess I grew up as a little bit of a tomboy. And, you know, I liked playing sports. I played sports with the boys. I played soccer with the guys. And just when he joined the military, it really inspired me. And so then when I started looking at schools and things, I started looking into this idea of military service as well.
So what were you saying? Your grandparents were in the military?
My grandfather, yes. He was in the Navy.
Yeah.
And there's a pretty funny story with him. It took him a long time to understand, you know, that generational gap.
Yeah.
That I was actually a pilot in the Navy. You know, for so long, he was like, well, you're doing, you know, secretarial work for the military, right?
Oh,
and I'm like,
gosh.
Oh, no, not quite, Papa.
Oh, my God.
I think at that point, my mom was just, she was so used to me kind of being up in the trees and climbing and being active. And I don't think my mother got to the point, I think, where not much surprised her.
So you're an adventurer.
Yeah, adventurer, a little bit rebellious, you know, kind of like to push the envelope with things. So not a lot, I think, surprised her at that point. So, yeah, so then I joined the Navy and had it, you know, paying for college. And then while I was in school, maybe a year or two in, I was like, okay, I got to figure out what I'm going to do in the military now. So you have those 4 years of school to kind of figure out.
Okay.
And I was like, well, what is the coolest, most hardcore, cool thing I could possibly
Unexpected by everyone.
Yes. I like when people see new possibilities. And so
was that conscious for you?
It wasn't at the time.
Okay.
This has taken 15 years of yoga and mindfulness and trying to think back on why did I do all these things? You know, was it my ego that took me there? And of course, there's a small portion of that. I grew up in a very kind of competitive sports, and in the military, of course, there's so much competition. And so in recent years, as I've looked back at what was it during my young age that kind of sent me there, I think it was. I like to be a little bit rebellious and challenge social norms and expectations of what people thought I could do. You know, I was this little small female joining the military, and I was like, nope, you know what? I want to be a pilot. I want to kind of just
Fighter pilot. There's a difference between a pilot and someone who trains to be a fighter pilot, too. What's the difference?
So originally, I wanted to fly helicopters. I was very sad. I wanted to fly helicopters. It sounded cool. I heard all the jet pilots were, you know, just really kind of cocky and arrogant. And I was like, I don't want to deal with that world. And then as I was going through flight school, someone said, well, you know, you have the opportunity here. You know, and I couldn't say no. Mm. It just, you know, that kind of tip of the iceberg of adrenaline and just that point where you are at the, we call it the tip, like the pointy end of a spear is actually what we kind of call it in the military. And so just to be that one that is really at the forefront.
So now we're talking 12 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So you are very, because you're young now, so you were very, young then.
I was about 19 or 20 when I put in for the aviation.
Were there other women who were training to be fighter pilots with you in your class?
Yeah, there were one or two. You know, it's a little less common than helos or helicopters, and a little less common than some of the other aircraft that the Navy flies. But I've got to say that there's a lot of women that have paved the way for me. And that's not to say that it was easy being a female in the military and in this world, in this community. But there were a lot of, you know, other women that did it more alone. But it is a very lonely place.
Okay, so back to school. You're training to be the fighter pilot. Mm-hmm. And then where do you let's assume you finish your school, you become the fighter pilot. Then what happens next? Like, I want to hear a little bit about your journey in the military and what that was like.
So once you graduate, I started flight school, and that takes about 2 to 2.5 years. And during that time, we're pretty hard. there's a high expectation in the military of standards, of expectations, of the way things should be. But underneath it all, it's we're harder even on ourselves, you know? So that time in the military flight school, it's very challenging. They're pushing you to your limit. You know, they're yelling at you for no reason just to get you to kind of get comfortable reacting and doing things under pressure.
So did you break a lot? Did you ever
break down? There were a lot of hidden, let's just say there was a lot of hidden stuff, because in the military it's one of those things where
you can't
show. It's slowly coming, but it wasn't there then, right? So, and then also trying to fit in and just be one of the guys, you know, there's a large, you're trying to navigate that early on, especially when you're new to it. But then once again, I really like that rebellious thing of pushing the envelope. So I wanted to maintain my femininity, even in the military. That was very important to me to do that. For myself, but also I thought probably that same thing for others. Mm-hmm. Like I wanted people to be like, oh, that's possible, you know, that someone could still put a little bit of, you know,
makeup
mascara
on,
you know.
This beautiful young woman is getting into the fighter
plane.
Not
too much, but a little bit. I'm a girl. Yeah. And kind of be me underneath it all. And so, that was important to me. And I didn't want it to undermine, you know, my training and being a good pilot or anything, but that was important to me as well, and I didn't want to lose that.
Mm-hmm.
So flight school was very, very intense, to say the least. So that takes about 2 to 2.5 years, and that's actually when I found my first couple yoga classes that I stayed for Shavasana.
Ah.
And I started to realize that it was the only place in the world where I wasn't critiquing myself or wasn't being critiqued by someone else.
Where were they giving the classes?
Well, I found a little studio. When I was stationed in Meridian, Mississippi, I found this great little yoga studio. And so I found some classes there.
Wow.
And that was the first time that I started to be like, wow, I feel
you
safe.
You could sit still.
I felt safe. I felt calm. I felt like the ego and the pressure was off in a way that I could just breathe.
Yeah. Did you have a lot of anxiety, or could you name what, you know, all that energy inside of you was when it's the first time you felt like safe and calm?
Because you're always everything that you do in flight school, and even in the military in general, every detail is watched, you know, and everybody's watching, everybody's critiquing. There's always these eyes on right? And so you're always, in a way, performing. Mm-hmm. And it was the only place where I could just let down some of that performance and just be me.
Yeah.
You know, I could cry if I wanted to. And
it, everybody's eyes were closed. And,
it became an escape. It became this safe haven. Mm-hmm. And even then, I didn't quite know. You know, this yoga thing was new. This mindfulness, this kind of meditative practice at the end was new. And I didn't know what it was, but there was something that kept drawing me back. You know, so that was kind of when I first started to find it, was in flight school when everything was real intense for the, you know.
Yeah. Are you stationed in, after Mississippi, where did you go?
I went to Virginia Beach and joined my first squadron. They were like, okay, you finished training last week. Your aircraft carrier is already in the Gulf, so you're on a plane next week.
Oh my gosh.
No joke. It was like, I found out and I had 2 weeks
honestly,
pack
that,
up my life and
that gives
go.
Me chills. That's. Did you run to a yoga class, or did you take a deep breath? What did you do?
No, I mean, that's got to be scary. I was kind of excited. It was, at the time, it was actually an honor, because they thought I was, ready enough to go directly over and support. Mm-hmm. And so I joined the aircraft carrier on deployment. I'll never forget. I got off the plane, you know, first time the big COD landed. Get out of the COD, and I'm like, oh, boy. This is a new place, right? I've been in an aircraft carrier before when we were flying and practicing, but this was something totally different, right? And they'd already been gone for 4 or 5 months, so I'm meeting this aircraft carrier halfway through their deployment. Mm-hmm. And there were a couple little rocky roads at the beginning, because the feminine side that I wanted to keep, mm-hmm. People don't want that over there. You know, you're out there, you're doing the mission.
Gotta focus.
I gotta focus. And so I had actually somebody, immediately started, getting teased. Like, oh, she's such a girl. And so there, all sorts of call signs started getting thrown around, because as a pilot, the call sign is kind of your rite of passage, right? So my call sign actually ended up being Rodeo Clown.
Oh, that's what they called you?
That was my call sign, Rodeo Clown or RC. And it's fun. At the time, I was a little bit angry, but you can't tell them you're angry or else it'll stick, right?
Right.
So you don't want people to know
you
don't like it at the time. And then it started to grow on me, and I just thought it was hilarious. So it's fun,
Well, it probably meant that you had a sense of humor and you were ready to
play. You don't have a choice. You can't have a sense of humor with those. There's some worse ones, so this one wasn't so bad.
Now, it's when you first went into the military, you were doing it because of school, and then each decision you made along the way was, step by step. And so here you are getting ready to fight in a real situation, correct? So how did that, here you were, maybe starting to get a little bit in touch with the softer non-ego side that comes from having a yoga practice and a meditation as a part of that movement.
Yes.
And then you're going out to fight.
Yes.
And to potentially kill people. How does that all fit in your... Or did you think about... Let's say, did you think about it then?
I think...
How did you think about it?
Yeah, I think some people... And this is a common, I find... perception, for people that aren't in the military, to be like, well, what do you think when you're out there, you're doing things? And the best I can answer is, you've been trained to do something for the country. Mm-hmm. And when you're there, you're focused on doing what you're supposed to be doing and making sure that the friends of yours, your fellow service members, are safe.
And you're not
so
judging.
You're not thinking about those things. Even when you're flying around and you're supporting the guys on the ground and they're talking to you on the radio, you're not thinking about all this other stuff. You're not questioning. Yeah, there's no time for that.
Right.
No. To be honest with you, you talk to somebody on the radio and they're on the ground, they're speaking your language, they're asking for help. You're not thinking about anything else, those moments. So.
Right.
But then for me, it was very important that when I came back after I needed that time alone, I would practice in my stateroom.
Mm-hmm. You would practice.
I would practice. It was so funny. The ship would be rocking from side to side. I remember being in tree pose once, trying to find my gaze and my drishti and being like, oh boy, this is a real challenging place to find some focus and mindfulness.
Were you doing yoga then while you were overseas to calm your...
I was, and once again, it was that safe haven. It was that place where where no one was watching. It was just me alone. If I fell, there was nobody critiquing. You know, it was just that. Wow. And so when you're flying on an aircraft carrier, every single time you land, everything that you do is watched. Everything is taped from inside the cockpit. Mm. Everything from your landing outside, everybody's watching on the deck. And actually, the filming and the video of your landing is projected throughout the entire aircraft carrier. So people are watching you constantly. Wow. Do you know what I mean? There's just a lot of pressure. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm just saying that it was important for me being under that kind of a spotlight all the time, along with a lot of the other, everybody else was as well. Everybody is in their own way.
Sure.
So, somebody's watching everything that we do, and we have to because it's a safety thing for a lot of reasons too. And just being the most efficient that we can be. Well, I needed that break sometimes to just come back to my room and be like, okay.
Yeah.
I don't have to, you know, do anything the correct way anymore. And I can just kind of...
Did you do meditation, or is this your Shavasana, your meditation at the end of your movement?
I think in the military, we're very good at working under a lot of pressure and with a lot of adrenaline pumping through us, right?
Yeah.
So I often find, and this is why the yoga videos that we just created, we need a strong physical practice to let go of some of that energy before we can start to find that meditative state.
Yeah.
And I really enjoy meditation, but I like when somebody else guides me through it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I was doing yoga videos on the aircraft carrier in my room, and, you know, every once in a while adding a little meditation in. But, yeah, I needed that physical practice to begin.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. If you've ever thought about therapy and haven't quite jumped in yet, it may be the right time to explore BetterHelp. Whether you're looking for new coping skills or to improve a relationship, or maybe dealing with some social anxiety or just need to recharge your batteries so you can be the best version of yourself, therapy is great. And this could be just the right time to give BetterHelp a shot. Finding a therapist through BetterHelp is easy. It's entirely online, convenient, flexible, and they do their best to match you with a licensed therapist that's a great fit for you. Visit betterhelp.com/untangle today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp, HELP.com/untangle. Now, back to our show.
So I like the way you're talking about, you know, when you go into the military, you're of service, and how important it is to focus and to not get caught up in a lot of the other thoughts and emotions that could be present if you really, like, kind of thought about what you were doing. And I've read a little bit of some of the stuff that you've written, and you talk about yoga in that same way of being of service and focus. And so talk a little bit about how you see that service aspect of both the military and yoga. And then, you know, what made you want to bring this yoga practice? I want to know why you left the military, but also, you know, what made you want to bring this practice to both active military and veterans?
It's for anybody. There's so many aspects, I think, of the military and yoga that are so similar. Between the idea of committing to a practice, you know, this commitment to each other, to the, you know, community, to the service that you're in, to the community that you're in, to performing well, to doing your job right. You know, there's a lot of discipline, even in the meditation practice and even in the yoga practice, there's a lot of discipline, you know. And not in a negative way, you know, discipline to be honest with yourself and notice when the thoughts are arising and where they're taking you and why they're coming up and what you're feeling. So there's that kind of, that discipline aspect. People might laugh because I can be a little bit of a rebel. So for me to use the word discipline, they're probably like, oh boy, here we go. But honestly, though, there really is. There's those sides of it. Discipline to the practice, discipline to finding that true voice and finding that true release of who you are underneath all of these layers, right, that we kind of cover up with. And so, yeah, so being of service in the military was an honor. You know, it's something that everywhere you go now, I was just talking at lunch with Rob about how people always want to say thank you for your service, right? And they're very kind, and everybody is very grateful for it. When you're in the military, sometimes you don't think about that. You're not really like, you know you're serving your country. Of course you are, yes. But you're not you don't even think about the fact that, so when somebody says that to you, you're like, oh, that's weird. Thanks. Okay. You know, but it's like it often catches us off guard a little bit, but, there's a higher almost, purpose.
Yeah.
Right. And that same thing can be said for yoga and for meditation. There's this higher thing to it. And so you feel like you're a part of something bigger, in both worlds, I think.
And is that what inspired you to go from military into a yoga practice and teaching practice 100% when you left the military?
So,
or did you always know there was going to be a finite period of time that you were going to be in the military?
I did. It came earlier than I thought it would, but I did. I think that for me, I'm so glad I did it. I wouldn't change a thing about my time, my active duty time or my reserve time. But I always knew I wanted to do something else as well. Because I felt like there was some other side of me that still needed to be let out. And I didn't really know what that meant. Because sometimes when I was in the military, it felt like a square peg in a round hole a little bit. And I liked it that way at the time because I liked kind of challenging expectations of the way things are supposed to be in life for anyone.
But you wanted to be in alignment with who you were.
Yeah, there were parts of me that needed to come out. And I think you're right, there was this softer side of me, maybe, that wanted to share and be funny and goofy and let my vulnerable side show a lot more. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't always able to do that in the military. I always had to have that kind of strong and solid and composed and kind of attitude, right? We'd sometimes say you got to fake it till you make it, right? You got to fake the confidence till you make it. And so you can't let that side show. And I think I needed to let that out.
Yeah.
And so then I did my 200-hour teacher training while I was still active duty. No intention to teach, just wanted to learn more about mindfulness and yoga and why it felt so good when I did it. And then once I finished, I was like, well, there's no way not to share this. This has brought so much awareness and presence into my life.
Yeah.
And so much transformation in terms of letting some of those ego parts go.
Right.
Of letting some of those expectations and judgment that we have of ourselves, but not just of ourselves, but of everyone else around us. You know, if there's one thing that I have walked away from my yoga practice and from this place of mindfulness is that we're all connected. We are all connected.
Yeah.
And that is something that sometimes in the military, yes, we're connected with other, you know, we're connected within our service and we're connected to our country, but just by the spirit of what you're doing, sometimes it can mentally cause a divide between us and them. And I think there was something within me that was like, I don't feel different from some other people, you know? Like, I don't think that my hopes, my wants, my needs, my desires are different than that of many other people. Now, of course, there's people that do bad things and there's certain things that must be done. But yeah, there was this other side that I needed to explore.
There's something that you just said that really struck me, and that not just the like fake it till you make it, because I think so many of us do that. You know, you're young in your career, whatever your career is, you know, you go and
show
put on a little gray suit and act like you know exactly what you're doing. But I think for a lot of young people that go into the military in their 20s before they've really established a sense of their own personal core and confidence, and then they become these sort of, let's just say, focused and rigid and disciplined and don't have a chance to sort of develop those other sides of themselves, and then they come out. I mean, do you see that as a real reason potentially for so much post-traumatic stress because they haven't developed that sort of core and that ability to handle difficult situations with authenticity?
You know, there's probably some truth to what you just said in some ways, but at the end of the day, I mean, it's not just the military, every single human being has something in their life, right? We've all had trauma in some way. And there's been times in our life when we could handle it and we're resilient because of the support network that we might have had around us, and there's other times when we weren't. I do think, however, that, you know, there is that, you know, we talk about rigid and discipline and thing, but there is that softer side in all of us, right? Mm-hmm. Already, it's there. And so I think that's what we're hoping to do with these yoga videos, is to help people find that exploration of that while they're still in the military. Because to be honest with you, there's only so far you can really take it. When you have a job to do, you know, you can't be thinking like, oh, I wonder what's going to happen to this you know. You can't think about all the consequences along the way while you're doing that. Right. So in some ways, there are certain parts of, as a military member, you need to be able to turn down the volume and shut off. It's required. It's part of what we do, and it's what makes us successful sometimes in what we're doing. But I do think that by inviting a little bit of yoga or mindfulness practice, a little meditation in, it can help us become a little bit more resilient, not just mentally, but physically, along the way to kind of, like you said, preemptively. So that's what these videos are for. It's to, there's so many, like I said, there's so many great organizations for once people are veterans, once they're out, yoga for PTSD, yoga for traumatic brain injury, yoga for those with missing limbs, you know, adaptive yoga, wonderful support organizations out there for things like that. And I wanted to tap more into just what you were saying, giving people some of these tools to find that mindfulness and to find that balance before, you know, so that they can draw on that, so that they stay a little bit maybe feeling more balanced within themselves along the way.
So talk a little bit about like this evolution into the programs that you're creating beyond, you know, the videos that you, your work in the world now. What do you hope to be able to do?
So, God, that's a great, so much. I think for each of us, you know, we, what we choose to do, if we follow our hearts and if we follow, you know, like you hosting these wonderful shows and telling people stories. I don't know your story, but maybe there was something along the way that you said, I want to give a voice to some of these things. Well, for me, I guess it is, I want to help people understand that expectations, they're this layer that we put upon ourselves. And I want to help people to kind of break through that. And I like empowering people along the way through that and showing them that it's okay to let that other side out that's not judging and that's less critical and that's less competitive. So those are probably the things that drive me because, of course, I've had so much experience living in that world for so long. It's important for me to share that because I feel it's something that I'm passionate about, that I can talk to, you know, that you... So I think it just, it's coming out now. It's not that I necessarily chose to come down this. This yoga for military videos just morphed. I have no... Honestly, I threw the idea out there because I was like, well, this would be awesome, you know, to do this and offer this. And... You know, the universe has a funny way of kind of sending you the things that I think you're supposed to be doing, whether you're looking for them or not.
It sounds like you say yes to a lot, which is a really, that's a beautiful gift to be able to do that, to say yes and not turn your back on things and just know that those are the right things to do.
And just find a little bit of faith, I suppose, in yourself that you're going to find out what it is. And every single person that I've taught, all these military men and women that I've been able to share this practice with in the States and in Europe. I was lucky to be a part of this place called the Warrior Transition Program in Germany, and it's where a lot of some of our sailors and Air Force and even every service does this. They stop on their way home for a few days for decompression before they come back to their families and bills and kids and, you know, so it's just their time. And I had the opportunity to teach some yoga classes there as well, which was just fantastic. And like I mentioned before, I just would get questions like, where, I like this. I didn't realize I would like this. And I find that just getting people in that door and getting them to their first yoga experience and making it a positive one. So we're just trying to kind of break down that barrier and bridge the gap between yoga and the military and like lose its stigma, you know, like, and help people kind of find it.
You are an old soul. I mean, I'm sitting here in awe of your wisdom at such a beautiful young age. Thank you so much for coming in today.
Thanks for having
really
me.
Excited
it's been
you.
An honor.
Thanks so much to Liz, and thank you all for listening. We look forward to sharing more inspiring stories next week. For more on Liz, check out walkaboutyoga.com. Once again, if you have feedback or suggestions for guests, email us at patricia@meditationstudioapp.com. And don't forget to check out Meditation Studio app in the App Store.